About to move on. You may be seated right now. I'm asking for the Hill House to come. He's going to read what will serve as the text for my abbreviated message today. It's a lengthy reading, so I'm going to abbreviate it real quick. But it is the typical 20 verses that people read whenever they're talking about the Christmas story. As Anna continues to play, would you turn your attention to the pulpit?
Well, thank God for His presence. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there in the same country, shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they had made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them.
Why don't we give a hand clap to the Lord for His word right now? Preached to you for just a little bit on responding to Christmas. I got at most 12 minutes here. I'm sure all of you have favorite Christmas memories, that if somebody were to ask you what is your favorite Christmas memory, there's probably something that comes to your mind almost immediately. Whether it's a time with family, it's a time with friends, it's a time when you got your greatest gift of all time. If people were to ask you, what is your favorite Christmas present? There's two or three things that come to mind every time I think about it. Were they the greatest present ever? Not necessarily, but they were vividly impressed in my mind based on maybe the time of my life or what was going on in various situations. But for many, Christmas is the most wonderful time of year, and for others, maybe not so much, as we talked about last week. But regardless of whether you have favorite Christmas memories or favorite Christmas presents, or you have big plans this Christmas, most of us in this room would understand that Jesus is the reason for the season. Look at your neighbor, say, Jesus is the reason for the season. It's not sleigh bells or jingle bells. It's not snowmen or reindeer. It's not jolly old Saint Nick. All of those things which we like to sing about and watch and talk about and things are cool. But ultimately, everything in this season should be about Jesus. And it is specifically the fact that it is his birth of that one that would redeem us from sin. And we have this Christmas story in the Bible. And as I was reading the Christmas story earlier this week in preparation for what I'm actually really, wasn't planning on talking about what I'm going to talk about until I was reading the text earlier this week. And I read a brief portion of Luke chapter 2, and it triggered something for me. So I analyzed the gospel accounts of Christmas. And I was surprised at my discovery in the scripture about the gospel accounts. Matthew has 23 verses that are about Jesus, things and incidents surrounding his birth. The gospel of Mark, it has 0 verses about the birth of Jesus. The gospel of Luke, it has the most, it has 53 verses for any of the things surrounding and pertaining to what we talk about at Christmas. And then the gospel of John, it has 1 verse about the birth of Jesus. Altogether, some 80 verses in the Bible, in the gospel accounts about the birth of Jesus. Now understand, the Old Testament is full of prophecies and predictions of what's going to happen and where Jesus would be born and many other things surrounding that. But in the gospel accounts, 80 verses. But what I discovered is that the details of Jesus' birth are very sparse. There's just not that many details about his birth. The most important part of the Christmas story is the fact that Jesus came. It doesn't really matter all of the details necessarily, but just to understand and believe that he came. It is an extraordinarily small piece of verses where we read of this Christmas story that actually talk about the birth of Jesus, and I will read them to you in just a moment. It's a little tiny piece of all of Scripture. It doesn't contain any of the things we normally talk about in times of a birth. Whenever somebody's born, oh, well, how long was he, and how much did he weigh, and did he have a lot of hair, or was he bald? Things you would have told your friends at the birth of your child, things that people would have asked about, we get none of that about Jesus. We don't know how much he weighed. We don't know how long he was. We don't know if he had lots of hair or not any at all. My kids were bald for the most part until they were about 2. At 52, I am on my way to going bald. But we don't get all of that stuff. Here's what we get. One little piece of Matthew chapter 1, verse 25, speaking of Joseph, and he did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. No detail, no information. She just brought forth her firstborn son, and he, Joseph, called his name Jesus. Or just a piece of Luke chapter 2 that was read here in your hearing. I'll read verses 6 and 7, but when it gets down to it, it's really just verse 7. But verse 6 says this, and so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Not much. She just had a baby. Wrapped him in swaddling clothes, put him in a manger. No other detail. And then the only other gospel account that actually talks about his birth, if you could say it that way, is this in John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Less than 3 full verses, but oh, what important things are captured in those 3 verses. The birth of the one who would be our Messiah, the birth of the one who would take away the sin of the world. It's important but it's not a lot of detail. One of the most important events in human history, and you get less than three verses about the actual event. We don't really know if it was night, it was day. We don't know the time of year. The Bible doesn't really tell us all of that. We can deduce the time of the year, and we sing things such as Silent Night because the shepherds have a nighttime encounter with the baby Jesus. One of the most important events in God's story of redeeming man. The fulfillment of nearly 4,000 years of prophecy going all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and it's just three small verses. Maybe it's small because we don't need to know the details of the stable. We don't need to know what animals were there. We don't need to know what it smelled like. We don't need to know what Mary was wearing. We don't need to know what Joseph was thinking. We don't need to know who was staying at the inn and who didn't give up their room so that Mary could have a room in the inn. We just don't really need to know. The only thing we need to know and understand is that he came. That Jesus Christ was born of a virgin and he came to be the Savior of the world. That's the important piece. So we don't get the details, and I never really thought about it before Monday that there's just these little bitty verses. But what we have and what we tell as the Christmas story, and 18 of the verses that Pastor Hillhouse read, 18 of those verses were all the surrounding story. It wasn't the complete surrounding story, but it was around the event, but just two verses at most that you can point to and say, these tell the birth of Jesus. So while the details of the birth of Jesus are scarce, the details of the people surrounding the birth of Jesus are numerous. The things that take up the bulk of the Christmas story is the angelic interaction with people who play a part in the story. Lots of angels, a whole lot more about angels than about Jesus. A whole lot more about these angelic visitations to Mary and these angelic visitation to Joseph in a dream, or the angels talking to the shepherds. We get a lot of this angelic interaction. But it's really not even about the angelic interaction, but what's important about the details of the stories that it gives is their response to Christmas. Their response to the truth of what's taking place. Their response to the truth that Jesus is coming. Their response that Jesus is indeed the Messiah. Their response that that which is in Mary is of the Holy Ghost. The miraculous birth of John the Baptist, the angelic visit to Mary, Mary visiting Elizabeth and the babe, John the Baptist sleeping in the womb of Elizabeth, and then Mary giving her what's called her Magnificat, which is this song that she sings at the end of Luke chapter 1. Joseph being visited by an angel in a dream in the shepherd's angelic visit. After the birth of Jesus, 8 days later, the dedication of Jesus in the temple, and Simeon and Anna's response, and maybe up to 2 years later, the visit by the Magi and the star that they followed. We get all of those details. A whole lot of details and what they saw and what they experienced and what they were feeling, what they're thinking. But all of it points to their response to Christmas. So I would tell you that just like the characters of the Bible, and if Anna would come to the piano, I'm really almost done. What is most important for you and I is our response to his coming. It's not important that we know all the details, but it is important how we respond to Christmas. It is important how we respond to that babe in a manger who's no longer a babe in a manger, but he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is in heaven and he is preparing a place for you and I. How we respond to him is what is important. Like Mary, we must say, let it be unto me according to your word. God, I may not understand what you're doing, but if your word says it and you're telling me this, I want it to be like that for me. And like Joseph, we must believe the child to whom Mary gave birth was indeed the Son of God. It's not just some baby. It's not something that history would try to change and paint as the offspring of some Roman soldier who raped Mary, but he is indeed the child of the Most High, that which is in her is of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph had to believe that. Otherwise, he puts her away. Like the shepherds who have this angelic visit, and the Bible says they made haste to where the babe lay. You and I must make haste and hurry to see Jesus and to make him known. Like Simeon, we must say, mine eyes have seen your salvation. I've experienced your salvation. There's no question that what I've been looking for and what I've been longing for has come. The Savior has come. And like Anna, we must give thanks to God for the birth of the Messiah that she had been longing to see. And like the Magi, we must respond like they did at seeing the star. We must seek him until we find him. If you seek him and do not find him, your seeking is in vain, but you got to seek him until you find him. You got to search out the Messiah. You got to go looking for the one who can save your soul. Jesus came as a babe in a manger to save us. Because of that salvation that he came to bring, you and I must respond to Christmas. So are you ready to say, let it be to me according to your word? God, I don't understand what you're doing. I don't understand what's happening. But I'm just going to believe your word. Not just his written word, but what he speaks to you, what he tells you. Are you ready to believe that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of the living God? Are we ready to say, like Joseph, I don't know how this can be, but Lord, I trust you. I believe what you tell me. Are we ready to make haste to see Jesus? Or in the hustle and bustle of the season, are we too busy to search him out? Are we going to acknowledge Jesus as the Savior like Simeon and give thanks like Anna? Would you stand together? Because of the meal following and because of extra stuff we're doing, and you're going to be here for a while still, I intentionally shortened the message. It's been 13 minutes since I took the pulpit. I really do watch the time. I ignore it a lot, but I watch it. So it would be remiss of me if I didn't give you an opportunity to respond. I tell you that you need to respond to Christmas. You need to respond to Jesus who came. So there are some in this room, you haven't talked to Jesus in a long time. There are some in this room, you've come part way into a relationship with him, but you haven't fully come all the way. There are some that you've maybe even questioned whether he's real. You don't have to get a whole lot of people together. There's 85 or so that's in this room. That's enough for there to be people in this room who would question whether he's really real. You hear the stories. You hear the story of Christmas, but did it really happen? Did he really come? Was he really God manifest or robed in flesh? Is it really true? Or you've come with problems and you're needing not to bring your gift to Jesus, but you're needing him to give you something today. You're needing him to give you the gift of peace or the gift of joy. You're needing him to provide something for you. You're needing him to heal your body today. So you didn't come to offer your gift, but you need to receive today. So wherever you are on any of those positions, and maybe many more that I could delineate and lay out here before you, what is true of all of us is that we have to respond to Jesus. Every time we gather together, it's an opportunity to come into his presence and to respond to him and say, God, I'm just coming. I don't need anything. Or Lord, I need a bunch of stuff, whatever it is. But Lord, I'm just coming here to respond to your presence. So I'm going to give you that opportunity as we get ready to sing, and we're going to wrap this up quickly. But if you want to come to the altar and you just want to say, Jesus, I'm here for whatever you want to do in my life. I've never really believed, but Lord, I'm ready to believe today. I've never committed my life to you, but I'm ready to commit my life to you. Jesus, I'm ready to have your Spirit living on the inside. I don't want to do this on my own anymore. I'm going to come and bow my knee at the foot of the cross. I know we're speaking about Christmas, but it's ultimately the cross that's going to save us. And so wherever you find yourself today, would you respond by stepping out of your row, stepping out of the chair where you've been sitting, and would you just lift your voice and lift your hands, and would you talk to Jesus right now? Jesus, we love you. We praise you, God.